much. Well, thank you. It's great to be here, and appreciate y'all coming. This is an awesome group of people, and we do need iron men, disciplined men. It's a good thing. So, well, I'll start with just saying this. I didn't go to church when I was young, but I went to one thing. I got my name on the roll. And so in the fall of that same year, a man came by my house, and he said, "You're going to be in my Sunday school class." I was an 11-year-old boy then, and he said, I don't remember anything he said other than the fact he told me that if I were going to be in his class, he had one rule, and that rule was you have to come every week. So I remember telling my mom after he left, I said, "Mom, I'm going to have to start going to church every week." She said, "Why?" I said, "This man came by and he told me to be in his class. I got to come every week, so I'm going to go." So I started going every single week, and he stood up beside something like this. There was only three of us. It was a small little cubicle, and one guy was Tommy Morisi, who I saw here a few years ago. He's a professor of biochemistry, I believe, at University of Florida. Microphone. And anyway, he's his name was Tommy, and there's another guy, Chuck. I don't remember his last name, but there were three of us. And he would talk pretty loud for 40 minutes every week behind something just like this. And when he... I don't remember anything he said then. All I remember is at the end of every class, he would say, "Every person needs to repent of their sins and trust Christ as Savior." So that went on for a while. He asked me after class one time, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "No, I'm not, but I'd like to be one." And he showed me how I could repent of my sins, trust Christ as Savior. I did that. Very best decision I've ever made. And if you have not made that decision, it is the most important decision. I have a voting card. This is my voting card, and it's got my picture on it, got my name on it. When I walk in the chamber, there on behind some of the chairs, there's a little card reader, and so when it's time to vote, you stick this card in, and the light comes on, and you vote. Either there's green for yes and red for no. There's always another button. It's yellow. I call that the chicken button. That means you don't know which way, but I don't use the chicken button. But anyway, and I use that to vote. And some of the decisions I make affect every one of you. Some of them affect our whole state. Some of them the United States of America. Sometimes even not just the security of our country, but the survival of our country. I mean, these are big, big decisions. But you know what? Every one of them are temporal. And the decision I made when I was 11 years old was the most important decision I've ever made, including all of these. These, because it's eternal. This is only temporal. So I would tell you, find Christ. It is the very ultimate decision that you can make. So I tell you, do it. Does that mean you go to Congress? No, not necessarily. I grew up in this area. I went to Evans High School and graduated from there. Went on to college at Georgia Tech, earned an electrical engineering degree there. Came back, worked in my dad's business, which is still in existence, 56 years long. And my three sons now run that company. But I was happy. I married Sandy. And you know what? That's maybe the second thing you should do. Not only find Christ, but also share Christ. So I just went out with my church. You know, we'd go and talk to people, sometimes door to door and other things. I learned how to do that. I learned how to do that actually when I was in college. A guy told me, "Hey, there's this really well-known person that's coming to town, and they tell you how to share Christ." I go, "Who is it?" He goes, "Bill Bright." I go, "I never heard of him." Anyway, I went and learned. You may have learned that too, a little Four Spiritual Laws, yellow booklet. So I learned how to share that, memorized it. And anyway, I was playing softball one night here in town, and a guy came to the fence and said, "Hey, I'm talking to some people about the Lord. Could you come with me?" I go, "I don't know any more than you do, but I'll go." So I did. And there was a girl there, her name was Karen, and shared with her. And she got down on her knees after she got to the little circle, you know, it says, "Christ out of your life." That's the one she chose. So she got down on her knees. and started crying and prayed to receive Christ. So I went back a week later. Campus Crusade used to have these books called 10 Steps to Maturity. This is a long time ago. So I take the first book over there and give it to her, and her best friend came by. And I started talking to her. Same thing exactly happened. She picked the wrong circle, and only it was the right one for her, and she wanted to have Christ in her life. She got down on her knees, started crying, prayed to receive Christ. Her name was Sandy. And that was my great follow-up program. I married her. So that was 44 years ago, or almost 40, or a little over 44. So anyway, maybe the second point is not only find Christ, but share Christ with other people. And then follow Christ. So I was working in my dad's business. The church, which was at the time First Baptist Church of Pine Hills. I grew up in Pine Hills. That's where I lived. All my friends were there. And my church was even named that, First Baptist Church of Pine Hills. Now it's Church at the Cross, First Baptist Church of Central Florida. And I was appointed the building committee chairman. Okay, it's just a volunteer position. We were buying some little pieces of property around that piece of land where our church was located. And so anyway, we bought this house right next to our parking lot, and we wanted to use it 1 hour a week. So it was my job to go down to the county, which I did, Orange County, and applied for a zoning exception. Waited a few weeks and got the results. Denied. I go, denied? Why did you deny it? It was adverse to public policy. I go, adverse to public policy? I was pretty naive. I voted. That was about it. Adverse to public policy? This is the United States of America. I don't know what to say. You know, how could you deny that? All we want to do is teach Sunday school there 1 hour a week. And so I asked this question. Who sets public policy? Somebody said the Florida legislature. I go, okay, I'm running for the legislature. I'd never been to Tallahassee. I didn't even know when they met. Never seen the Capitol, the gavel, or anything else. I called my mom. Said, Mom, I'm going to run for the Florida House of Representatives. She goes, don't you think you should start a little smaller? So maybe I should have, I don't know, but I ran. And back then it was countywide, so I had to run in Orange County, all over Orange County, and we signed up 2 hours before the deadline. Somebody gave me this book. I didn't know anything about running for office. Somebody gave me a book. It's called In the Spirit of 76. It's a little paperback book. It's not in print anymore. Just talked about the mechanics of running for office in a Christian way. And so the first chapter was the extra early start. So I missed that because I've just qualified. So I flip on over. I get to chapter 9, the fast finish. Okay, that's what we're going to do, the fast finish. So we did the fast finish. And so then the book said at the end, because everywhere people say, you're a nice guy, you're probably going to lose. Okay. So we got to the last day, and the book said, have a victory party. So some of our friends in Pine Hills, everybody brought food, and we went over there and watched the results. This was 1980. Ronald Reagan won the presidency that year, and Jimmy Carter, for whatever reason, conceded early, way early, earlier than I've ever seen before that or after that. And along about 10 o'clock, 10:30, there was my opponent on TV. We knew we were losing, and he was being interviewed as the winner. Everybody went home and went to bed. Except me, I kind of stayed. I wanted to see what else was going on. And somebody called me after midnight and said, hey, it's a little closer than they thought. You should go to the supervisor's office. I go, supervisor's office, okay. Never been to the supervisor's office. Looked it up in the phone book. I know where that is. So I drove down there, went in. I'm thinking on the way there, I don't know anybody. How am I going to find out how it's going? So anyway, I walked in. One guy was there that I knew. And he said it's a tie vote. I told you I was kind of naive. I go, do they have ties? He goes, no, there's one area left. I said, where is he? He said, Pine Hills. So anyway, I won. And the next day, the Orlando Sentinel printed that I had lost, but But in the end, I don't think they ever retracted it either, but in the end, I won, and I headed to Tallahassee to make good public policy. And I'll speed it up there, but I think the real point is just follow Christ. I never, ever would have thought that's where I would be. I never thought I would be sitting in that chamber, albeit on the back row. And I just never imagined that in my life. And it just, that's the way it works with God. Just follow Him wherever He leads us. So I did. I stayed in the minority, finally gained a majority by one vote, and I was elected Speaker of the House. And that was the first time somebody of my party had won that since Reconstruction, 122 years. So I served there, then I was term limited out later, went to the Senate, served there, was majority leader there, and then I was done. That was it. I was through. I was term limited out in the Senate. I was happy. Everything was over. Somebody called me and said, "You should run for Congress." I go, "I'm not running for Congress. It's a bad place." So I didn't run. 2 years later, they came back, said, "There's this guy, Alan Grayson. You should run against him. You could beat him. You're the only person that can beat him. You got to run." And I said, "No, I'm not doing it." And about right before, this was earlier, a week before qualifying, this wasn't a couple hours, so a week before qualifying was over, I signed up, and I ran, and I won, and I got there, and sure enough, it was a bad place. I was right. So what do you make of all of that? I would like to just share with you three principles, and these principles would, in some ways, impact Iron Men, because Iron Men, I believe, in the physical world are disciplined. You want to be a disciple. That's what a disciple is, a disciplined one. So I have three principles that have really guided me well, and I'd like to share them with you, that go along with finding Christ, sharing Christ, following Christ. So the first one is, for every one of us, learn the value of time. You know, I think it's amazing that time and gold are both measured in 24 units. 24 karat gold being the finest, purest, and using 24 hours a day the right way, including sleeping, is good. So learn the value of time. You think, well, it's really not all that important. Yeah, it is. And it becomes more important. You say, well, what if we just, what if we use our time a little bit more wisely, maybe 10 minutes better or something? What's that going to do? Well, you know what? Queen of England said one time, all I have, everything I have for one more moment in time. Time is important. Jesus came, it says in the scripture, in the fullness of time, right at the very, very perfect moment. That's when He came. So I've heard people project, what if He came now? What if He came before then? Whatever. No, it couldn't. It was the fullness of time. So for us, I think the interesting thing is, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, we all, and everyone in this room, and we all come from different backgrounds, every one of us all get 24 hours a day. Equally divided. No matter how rich we are, no matter how poor we are, no matter where we find ourselves. It doesn't matter. We get 24 hours. How are you going to use it? That's the key. The value, if you value time, teach us to number our days. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because time is so important. And I tell students this. There's no time for amusement. You say, well, I like to be amused. Well, you know, yeah, you would. So would I. Ah means no, muse means think. So that means you're not thinking. Think about that. So the value of time, I can't tell you how important it is. And then what you do with it. And we'll get with that at point two. And that is, learn the value of reading the Bible. I can't tell you how important that is. Think of this. Solomon was the greatest political leader ever. He built the most wealthy nation ever. He was the wisest political leader ever. And so he died. And when he died, his son, Rehoboam, was given that kingdom, handed over to him, the wealthiest kingdom. He had been around his father and heard the wisdom and so forth, and so he had all of it going for him. Well, this other group, the other parts of the country, the other tribes of the country, came to him, and they said, if you lighten up, your dad had all these building projects, and he had us going thousands and tens of thousands at a time, working on temples and houses for all his wives and all these things. He just built stuff. All we're asking is lighten up, and we'll serve you any way you want. Okay, come back in 3 days. So they came back in 3 days. During that time, the 3-day time, he talked to the men who had been around his father, the wisest men, because they had heard all the wisdom, all the proverbs, all the things that his father had done, and they had heard that. And they said, go out there and tell them, I'm going to lighten up. Okay, then he talked to his peers. His peers said, they were ready to be in control. They were ready to be in charge. This happens today. You go out there and tell them that your little pinky is going to be stronger than your dad's thigh. Okay, that's what I'm doing. So he goes out there and tells them that. My little pinky is going to be stronger than my dad's thigh. So get ready to be even serving double or triple. You know what they said? We don't have anything to do with you. And they left. Divided the kingdom. Lost this beautiful nation. And it never, ever was pulled back together again. You know why it was lost? Bad advice. So where can you get good advice? In the Bible. So I would tell you, I read it through every year, all the way through. I'm going to give you the secret of how I do that, at least for me. I used to have these checklists, and I'd forget to check them off. Then I'd start reading the place where I was, but it wasn't really where I was. I'd already read that, and I'd go here. I couldn't ever figure it out, and I read some in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, and it just didn't ever work for me. So I have one little ribbon in my Bible. I start in Genesis 1:1 on January 1st every single year, and I start reading. I divided the number of pages by the number of days, and it's 5 pages, a little bit right at 5 pages a day. So it's real easy. 5, 10, 15, 20, it's so simple. And so I just read that far, and I mark it. I come back the next day, and I read again. Well, when I started doing that, Leviticus stopped me and got me behind every single year. So, I had this great idea. I don't know if it's a great idea, but I had this idea. You know what? I'm going to read Leviticus the last few days of December. And then when I get to Leviticus, I can jump it. And then I'll read it again at the end of the year. And that has worked for me for many, many years. And so that's what I do. All I can tell you is, no, I'm not going to give you the, it's not my plan, it's not anybody's plan, just read the Bible. It is valuable advice. And I read through Psalms and Proverbs every month, every single month, and that's real simple too. So I would tell you, just do it. Read it, because even in Proverbs, like I said, Solomon's the wisest leader. You, no matter what kind of work you're in, every kind of person you'll ever meet are found there, and what you say to them and how you react to them, every single one. From wise people to fools, from rich people to poor people, to lazy people to diligent people, all kinds of every person is in there. Every personality is there, and it tells you how to deal with people. So anyway, I would tell you, learn the value of reading the Bible. It is so important because it is a place of perfect advice. Perfect advice. Sometimes you don't even want to hear it. I don't want to lead that one. No, not that one. But you have to read it and then you do it. And that's what hearing is. You know, it says, hear the word of the Lord. You know what that hear means? It means hear with the intent of doing it. That's it. So read it with the intent of doing it. And then Lastly, I'd tell you, learn the value of listening. Okay, I live in a world that loves these. They love microphones. I can prove it. So all the political leaders, I don't know if you've ever watched the Congress. If you do, you're pretty bored. It's on C-SPAN. But anyway, if you've seen the State of the Union, it's a semicircle of seats. And during the State of the Union, it's filled up with everybody. Lots of people are there. The Senate's there, and all the other leaders in government are there. And the gallery is packed out. That's not the way it is every day. And yet, there are members of Congress who go down to the chamber, stand behind a microphone, and talk to an empty chamber. That's how much we like talking. They're just talking. There's nobody there. It'd be like this room, just completely cleared out, and I'm standing here talking. It's hard to do, but people do it because we like to talk. Learn the value of listening. The people, I tell people, others all this all the time, the people you listen to are the key to your success. They are. Because once you listen, then you're going to earn the right to be heard. Most people with titles, no matter what kind of title, representative, governor, president, whatever it is, or even other titles that are given to people, they believe that gives them the right, and so they demand to be heard. And I would tell you this, don't demand to be heard. Earn the right to be heard. Because pride gets in the way, and it's probably the biggest reason political leaders fall is pride. And other leaders too, they fall because of pride. And so, and it starts early. You ever notice the first word your kid learns in the church nursery? Mine. And the first phrase is, I had it first. So we had six kids. Our first two learned those phrases at church. Then they taught their brothers and sisters, the rest of them, those phrases. So it starts early. Our family, because I was in a political leader, had to be perfect at church. This is the way it worked. So for 2 hours, they were perfect. On the way home in our big van, they weren't perfect. They were just kind of unwinding. So they had this game when they got home. They would run out the door of the van and touch the front door of the house. They would come back around and go through the garage door, and that's the last I would see them. They'd go through the garage door into the house. And I was still in the van getting stuff together. And then I would go in and see the results. And there, two or three are laying on the ground crying. The other one is cheating. He cheated. The goal was the first person to get in a specific chair. And the person that did won. So there it was. So I had to ban the words "I won" from our house because it was so prideful. That was the whole deal. We had to end that game. But the point is, it starts early, and it stays with us. And so, the idea of learning the value of listening is very, very important for all of us, no matter what kind of life we're in. Those three things: the value of listening to people, the value of reading the Bible, the value of knowing the value of time, learning the value of time, those things. And all of that, though, is wrapped up in one thing. And I've got one little verse and a half that I try to quote every day. And that is, and the reason it is because I want to have a simple life. Maybe you desire to have a simple life. Think about it. Iron Men, their life is pretty simple. It's rigid in a lot of ways, but it's simple. And so should ours. It's wrapped up in Psalm 73. And in the King James Version, it says, "Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory." That is a simple life. When we find Christ as Savior, which we talked about, He holds us by our right hand. So, and then He guides us with His counsel. Where's the counsel? The Word of God, the Bible. So He guides us with the counsel. And then at the end, He takes us to heaven. That is a simple life. That's the life that all of us should desire. Find Christ and then let Him guide us through His Word. And then at the time appointed, we go to heaven. What an awesome thing. And I will tell you, that to me is the life I wish for every single one of you. A simple life that you find Christ, follow Christ, and then share Christ and then follow Him no matter where He leads. Who knows? I bet that every one of you could tell a story just like I told, how you went in this direction and all of a sudden you were, just like I said when I was a kid, I'll never be a preacher. I'll never be a politician. I'll never be this. I'll never be that. And all of a sudden, you find yourself doing the very thing you said you'd never do. Why? Because that's the way God is. And He prepares us and plans out everything so we can carry that out. But He always wants us to have a very simple life. A disciplined life, but a simple life. So I really appreciate y'all letting me come. And may God bless every one of you. And may God bless this United States of America. Great to see all of you today. Thank you for letting me come.